Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Doesn't want to talk about over and undervaluation. We have the one and only Lance Lambert from Fortune Housing to talk about the 400 largest markets in the United States. We're going to talk about over undervaluation. We're going to talk about his article, and he was gracious enough to call out my buy box of Fresno, California. So we will certainly take a peek at that. Folks, Lance, this is a Moody's article or Moody's data that you put together. So tell us about it.
Yeah, so the team of economists over at Moody's, every quarter, they do an overvaluation, undervaluation study. And Zandy usually sends it over to me for the 400 largest markets. And what's happened is during the pandemic, we saw for the first time overvaluation percentages really take off the first time since the housing bubble popped. And, we've been hearing some of these people that, you know, online talking about a housing bubble in 2018 and 2019.
Lance, let's be clear. Let's give them full credit. It started in 2012. They've been consistently calling a bubble since 2012. I'm sorry. I digress.
And so Moody's, if you go back to 2012, the bottom of the housing bust, Moody's says that housing was not just not overvalued, it was undervalued by about 10% then. And throughout the past decade, even as home prices have taken off and moved back into growth mode around early 2012, we still haven't really gotten overvaluation much. And actually, if you look at the numbers, Moody says that in 2019, home prices were undervalued still nationally.
Wow.
So even during the time people were talking about an overvalued or a bubble again, it just wasn't there.
Yeah, but the math didn't support it. Yeah.
What we did see during the pandemic is that overvaluation came back as home prices ripped 40% in a 2-year period, and income growth was a fourth of that. So we really took off there. And any time that home prices outrun incomes by a lot, overvaluation studies are going to go up. That's just how it works. And one thing to keep in mind with overvaluation studies, this is not affordability. So this is not mortgage rates, incomes, prices. So when I show this data, it's going to show that we've improved recently, right? We've come down. Prices are less overvalued. But affordability out in the real world is actually right around the highest it's been, decades.
Highest or lowest, depending how you look
at it. And some of this goes down to also how Moody's values land on the properties too. So one interesting market is San Francisco. Moody says that San Francisco is undervalued. And even...
Sorry.
And some of this comes down to land and stuff like that. So... And Moody's study, while it was able to locate a lot of the frothy markets that did end up seeing corrections over the past year, there was also a part of the country, especially the very western part of the country, that it did not do a great job in terms of being a great leading indicator for the markets that were going to go down. So overvaluation kind of worked to locate some, but it wasn't perfect. The best metric for locating the markets that were at risk of correction last year was prices relative to rents. And so California and the West Coast is very high there. You know, people stretch themselves. There's been a structural undersupply of housing, so it's seen home prices bid up really far. And so price to income ratio, very stretched. But overvaluation, California, Oregon, Washington isn't very high in the Moody study. For a lot of these markets. So I'll share the data now. Let's see what it's...
I'd love to see. And I don't remember the number, but in summary, how many of the 400 markets are overvalued? Like a big number.
So of the 404, I think 17 are undervalued, including Chicago now, San Francisco. Seattle is just teetering. It's almost undervalued again. Okay. And of the 404, it's minus 17. So what is that? 387 maybe-ish?
Yeah.
That are overvalued. But Mark has always told me that where you kind of start to get a little, you know, a little worries, you would kind of worry about a market is when they're overvalued by 25% or more. That's what Mark calls significantly overvalued. So last year at the height of the boom, Boise was overvalued by 70%. When I would put out these studies, Boise real estate agents and stuff would come back to me and say, well, we've had a lot of people move in. Your study isn't factoring in the income growth here, blah, blah, blah. But it's like 70% is really up there.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor and show us that in the chart?
Yeah, I'll show you Boise.
Please. Yeah.
There you go. Boise, it right off the page there. So we've seen a correction in Boise. Prices have come down about 10%. And overvaluation has come down about 15, 17-ish percent, I think. So overvaluation is taking in price and income. So a 10% drop in price, some income gains, and you get a little better. But that's still really high. We're at 50% overvaluation still for Boise. So you would think of it as still kind of at risk potentially. And one thing to keep in mind, another thing with the overvaluation, undervaluation studies is just because a market is overvalued doesn't mean prices are going to fall, right?
Correct.
Prices could stay overvalued for years. Mm-hmm. And if it does come closer back to the norm, it's often through income gains and not necessarily price declines. Although, personal view, from reporting this stuff out and looking at past corrections, is I do think that when markets get higher on the overvaluation studies, really high, they're at risk if an event occurs where there's a window where prices can drop. And I think that's where we've been over the past year, is like prices aren't crashing price nationally. But there were some correction markets, but we're in a window where it could happen. And so when you're in a window where it can happen, you're kind of looking at the places that are at risk.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you could show the Fresno market if you don't mind, because again, this is something I've been doing for 22 or 23 years here, and you're going to see in the Fresno chart exactly what happened and why I sold all my single family homes and why I'm not selling today. Right. If you look at this chart, it should jump out at you. Fresno was one of those bubble markets. In fact, Fresno, California was the number one appreciating market in the United States 2 years in a row. I think 04 and 05. It might be 05 and 06. But anyways, two years in a row, number one market. And I went to an event. I listened to a gentleman named Bruce Norris, who talked about affordability. Now, that obviously does include interest rates, so it's a different calculation. But I looked at Fresno and it was record low on affordability, meaning I had to get out, right? I didn't have the luxury of this chart. I wish I did, but I sold all my houses right at the end of 06, which is really near the peak of this, and moved. So if you fast forward, I was buying 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, right? Though down, because again, we were buying below land value. And now people are coming back to me saying, hey, Fresno's unaffordable again. Or here overvalued. And I'm like, yeah, but there's no inventory. I play below the median. That talks about the whole market, right? You really have to know what's going on. And to your last point, and I think Mark made this as well, I get concerned at the extremes. And mm-hmm. for me, the extreme is 50%, right? That's like when you're standing up and you're on one leg on a ladder. It's like, you might be okay, but it doesn't take a lot to knock you off. So that's why I haven't sold homes today. That's why I sold everything last time, is this chart right here.
Yeah. And what we've seen is, while Mark kind of calls the significantly overvalued over 25%, which, you know, at the height was almost half the markets were mm-hmm. over 25% last spring. We haven't seen all those markets slip into sharp corrections, but there is a correlation of those really high ones. Very few of them missed at least getting some correction.
I would love to see Austin, Texas, if I'm sure that's in the list. The reason I want to see Austin is I don't think Austin had the pain in the last crisis because Texas really missed it. But I think they are set up for some nasty surprises this time. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Nailed it.
So this also speaks, in my opinion, to the value of this study. I don't think it's something that, you know, should completely. Well, I don't want to say how people should use it, but I think it's interesting that Austin, a market that wasn't really overvalued at the height of the housing bubble, didn't really see a correction. Then now, you know, in a much milder housing correction, they've seen a flash crash in prices.
Correct.
But you look at where the overvaluation was last spring, 60-something percent. And this is a market where net migration to it is really high still.
It's booming.
There's still a lot of people moving there. Incomes are growing very high in Austin. But what happened is that home prices relative to local incomes, because of a historic boom during the pandemic, just got detached from fundamentals. And it was vulnerable once mortgage rates spiked, because then it just took it too far over the edge. And already locals could barely afford it, a lot of them closer, you know, last year when mortgage rates were 3 and 4. So once you get up to 6, 7, they were in correction mode.
I'm gonna ask for two more cities if you don't mind. I'd love to see Miami. Ooh. Miami, I think, is heading towards Austin. It's not there yet, but it'll be curious. And they did see pain last time. They did see pain like Fresno. So
Miami's interesting.
There it is.
Yeah. So overvaluation, pretty much on par with last time. It has seen overvaluation come down because income growth there has been fairly high. And so that's helping to kind of pull things down. And another thing with the, you know, these overvaluation studies is that it's getting less overvalued as mortgage rates are being higher, and that sucks appreciation out of the market. Because let's be honest, if mortgage rates were 4% outside right now, prices this spring would have been.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine?
So we're still moving up, like the affordability squeeze there is very high, but they've come down a bit for price or for overvaluation only because price growth has kind of been frozen in a manipulated way by the Fed. Yeah.
Well, the last one I'd ask you for is maybe in the center of the country, like maybe Memphis, maybe.
And one more note about
Miami.
This is interesting. Miami home prices have ticked up a bit since the mortgage rate spike, and they're up year over year. It's still some of that effect from the last spring still kind of there, because their market had a longer run, spring appreciation, summer appreciation run. They were less affected, but it's kind of been frozen, right? Austin prices have actually corrected fairly fast.
Yes.
While Miami's still kind of inched up a bit. But the interesting thing is Austin still has net migration coming in. Miami is negative for net migration.
Really? I did not know that.
And they fell more in 2022. John Burns just put out more data. So that's kind of interesting. And I think that's something to watch a little bit, because the pandemic, we saw a good number of these markets like San Francisco lose population and still go up a lot in prices. But once once mortgage rates spiked, we've seen some of these urban cores that have lost population be more vulnerable. When I post some of these maps down to the zip code level, I think what you're kind of seeing is a bit of a donut effect where the urban part of the markets are down more or flat more, while more suburban is stronger, and exurbs are the strongest part of America. Home price growth, single families. And so I do think that the population bit for Miami is something to kind of keep an eye on. Although net migration doesn't include international moves, and Miami does get a good amount of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, And the other thing for Miami, and it's really its own housing market. It's kind of disconnected even from the trends in Florida, is that it's still getting a lot of the cash buyers, international. Right. And, you know, it kind of trades as almost an asset class, kind of like
correct
the New Yorks and San Francisco. So it's kind of it's a weird market into itself. So Memphis.
Two up.
Okay. Two.
There you go.
Yeah. Interesting.
Ooh, look at that.
But it's still under the 25. So this scale changes on each of the markets. That Boise, if the scale was the same, would it be up? Actually, it would be all the way.
Way up there. Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't. Actually, my computer screen isn't high enough for the Boise one.
That's interesting. Yeah, this would be this look, and when we orient to the ones we've just seen, this chart looks scary, but if it was on the same scale, this would not be concerning to me.
Yeah, you know, the path down and the interesting thing about the housing bust is, you know, there were a lot of markets that weren't even overvalued that much that still saw it, and that was just the overall fundamentals of the economy and housing. You know, there was an oversupply in a lot of the markets, overbuilding, the bad loans that were everywhere, the tightening of the loans, which is probably a key part that people kind of miss, that tightening, and which kept getting tighter through in like 10, 11, you know, those dynamics.
Yeah. How about Chicago? I think you listed that was one of the 17. Let's look at a city that's not overvalued.
So Chicago really saw kind of a mild pandemic housing boom, nothing too crazy. Just enough to get Chicago overvalued just a bit, but now right back down. And Chicago and New York were actually hit pretty hard by the housing crash.
Sure.
And they were much more overvalued the last cycle. And this time much milder. And I think if you look at, Chicago's home price growth relative to inflation, it really kind of tells the story. It's right there.
Right.
And you know, a lot of the markets that are warmer this spring, or even hotter, I should say, the places that are kind of hot. Chicago is kind of hot this spring. New Jersey, some of these places, they're also places that only went up 20-25% in a lot of their zip codes through the boom. And while to locals that 25-20% sounds high, if you look at inflation, what are we up registered 18%, but we know it hasn't even got all the rental inflation into it. So we're essentially 20% inflation, in the economy this, decade so far.
Yeah. Well, Lance, this is an amazing chart. Tell people where they can find it. Also where they can follow you on Twitter, because I think you are a must follow on Twitter.
Yeah, this one, it has the interactive for 404 markets. You just select your market, it'll pull it up. If you Google Lance Lambert Fortune, it's the first story that pops up. It says Moody's, Chicago undervalued, Tampa overvalued. Here's the data for 404 markets. I do think it might be behind the paywall right now, but it does have data for 404 markets if you're wanting to take a look.
Awesome. And where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, @NewsLambert.
Thank you so much.